Welcome back, everybody. It's our third week in a row with a new episode of Let's Go Steal a Podcast. And I've got Lisa Lynn back with me.
Hey, y'all.
Today, we're going to talk about the broken wing job, which, yes, was directed by John Harrison and co-written by Rebecca Kirsch, who we stan, love Rebecca Kirsch, and M. Scott Beach, who's pretty good, too. It aired on September 9th, 2012. We're working our way through the year. And in this episode, a torn ACL sidelines Parker while their crew goes on a very exciting job to Japan. but while she is kind of hobbled back at Leverage headquarters, she notices something awry in the brew pub.
Can we start off with a question?
Yes.
Was Beth, did Beth Riesgraf like injure herself and that's how they wrote it into the show? Or did she have to put on like a fake cast in that whole situation?
It's a fake cast. They needed a bottle episode, which we know a bottle episode is an episode of a show that takes place in one set or sets that are already built to save money. Because they needed to save money.
usually happens later on in the season when they use up their budget, and this is a way to cut down on costs.
Exactly. So we have the bottle job episode during
a bottle job episode of a bottle job episode. Very meta, which I also co-hosted.
Yes. And Jerry Ryan liked my tweet about that episode. So, Jerry Ryan, call me. Love you. Okay. Just watched you on Picard. You were great. Okay. She's good. Okay.
So, I mean, it's good that we established it wasn't that Beth had hurt herself. It was a whole fake plot cast situation.
And in fact, it's sort of a vehicle to show off how amazing Beth Riesgraf is as an actor and how much Parker has grown as a thief. Because in this episode, she really kind of synthesizes everything that she's learned from everybody else on the team. which will pay off at the end of this season/series.
Absolutely. And they absolutely picked the best person to do this because be hobbled. Like who would that like absolutely like do the worst number on?
Yeah.
Parker.
Yeah. I think it would be tied between Parker and Elliot, but Elliot would be like, well, I can work on one of my other billion hobbies. So
I mean, and Elliot would just find a way to use the crutch to beat the hell out of someone. So it would
she does as well. Spoilers, but yeah.
No, like the cast and crutch situation would not really
hold him back.
No.
Yeah, but
he would adapt and overcome and make it work.
he's Bear Grylls, yes. So we start off with a scene set in Tokyo, and this is before we really know that Parker's not there.
And can we just say, like, I don't think that was really Tokyo. It looked like the characters are there are like Chinese characters, and I'm pretty sure I saw the characters for Beijing, so I really don't think they were in Tokyo. I'm just putting that out there.
Put it out there. I would not know.
And that gate, those are totally the kind of gates you see at Chinatowns. Okay?
That's true.
So I'm saying they probably went to Portland, like Chinatown or something, or went to Chinatown in Vancouver or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's not Tokyo.
All right. that's something that I want to show up on the wikis or
I'm not standing by it. This is just a theory of mine. So I'm not standing by it, mind you.
Yeah.
This is just a theory.
No show is perfect. Let me see if there's anything in the trivia. There was no, like, it wasn't in the goofs or anything. So nobody else was eagle-eyed enough to notice it. But that doesn't mean you're wrong. Listeners, if you know, let us know. I said no too many times in that conversation. So this is basically just a scene to establish for us that the team is in a different location. They are in the middle of a heist. Sophie has a monkey statue. Elliot beats somebody up. And
like Elliot,
Hardison's talking to a real monkey.
Hardison has bonded with the monkey.
Yeah.
They've bonded. There's a connection there.
Yeah. So there's like a statue monkey and a real life monkey. And then Hardison is inside, an equipment closet or something, and he's messing with some wires. And, you know, he's talking with
complaining about being like an Amazon in Tokyo.
Which, talk about low hanging fruit. That's like a very obvious joke. But
happened to Chris Tucker, apparently, when he was shooting Rush Hour 2 with Jackie Chan in Hong Kong. Apparently he just stood out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. And he makes an Andre the Giant reference. But Parker's like, 3 minutes, I'll keep Mark. And Nate tells her, Parker, I thought we agreed you'd stay off the comms. And then we see that she's in Leverage headquarters. And she says, look, I'm fine. I just sprained my knee. Like, it's totally fine. And she, at this point, is rappelling from the really high ceiling
She rigged some sort of situation and plopped herself down on the couch.
And then she's in obvious pain. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But then Hardison tells us, like, no, babe, you tore your ACL. That's not the same
which she calls a sprained knee.
She's like, yeah, basically the same thing.
And then Hardison had to be like, no, knee does not make a doctor like put you on non-optional bed rest for 6 weeks. Like, no.
Right. And he asks her, or he tells her, don't forget to take your pain pills. And she says they make her feel wibbly wobbly, which one, foreshadowing. Two, a Doctor Who reference. So time is wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
I mean, I remember I was on painkillers after my wisdom teeth surgery. Like, can confirm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like it. It's a bad feeling.
Can confirm.
Yeah. So Parker says, but I gotta be sharp. Because he says, that's all you know that they're working. And she says, I gotta be sharp on the edge. It's where I gotta be. Can't have nothing in my life I can't walk away from in 30 seconds if I feel the heat coming around the corner. And like, he's like,
some bad gangster movie.
Well, no, she's
quoting some bad Heat. Or some bad like film noir movie.
No, she's quoting the movie Heat.
Which I've never seen.
With Al Pacino. Okay. Because, well, he says, he's like, wait, hold up, babe, did you just quote Heat? And she's so bored that she's watched his Netflix queue twice. And we all know how that feels heading into February of 2021. We all know how that feels. But as they're talking and she says she's going stir crazy, he starts getting some beeping and the steaming of equipment. And he's like, okay, I gotta go, I gotta go. Mayday, mayday. And then he says, babe, love, kisses, snuggles.
Other romantic things. Like, he is like all in on this couple thing. Like,
he's trying. He doesn't want to make her feel left out, which I think is really nice.
But it's not, he's also like, work, okay, but look, I have a situation here. I gotta go.
Right. So she's sitting there fiddling with some electronics, just, you know, like you do, soldering some things. And
I mean, like, she is spiraling down to the bad place. Like, she is just, you're slowly losing her mind from boredom, Parker.
Oh,
no. She's definitely losing her mind from boredom.
She's, yeah. Yeah, you're right. She does, like,
there was that montage.
Great, yeah. Montage of her watching things on television and like rocking back and forth and like just going stir crazy. And they did that, like, they swung the camera around, and that's just like one shot basically. And every time they came back around, Beth Rescrap did something else and acted a little more messed up.
I think she was like imitating some of the lines or whatever. And like,
mm-hmm.
She was, yeah. Obviously she's having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So Amy, like Hardison so, has sent Amy to check on Parker, help take care of her.
Yes, her. Bring her some food. And Amy is played by Artie Mann, who she also was a regular on Big Bang Theory.
She played Raj's sister Priya, who was involved with Leonard for a short while before he got together with Penny.
Yeah. So she's like very beautiful and like so she's really funny and like very natural and real. Like it's very, like a genuine character.
Very grounded.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a really good to like play off Parker, you know, who's unhinged.
I think I remember reading on John's blog that actually Beth and Artie like they went out to dinner or something and they got to know each other because they were going to spend so much time together. So like this bond they forged was like really real. They really got to know each other. So yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's, it's just a, they're a good cast. I love that.
Yeah.
So Amy brings her in some food as she's fiddling with some electronics and Parker makes a crack about how she feels less like a patient and more like a prisoner. But then she also, you know, Amy says, well, hopefully this tastes better than prison food. And Parker says that the best meal she ever had was in a French prison.
Apparently the salt is actually an actual French prison.
Oh.
Apparently.
Do they have good food?
I don't know.
Let's Google Le Sainte prison food.
Le Sainte. The wiki says it's a prison operated by the French Prison Service of the Ministry of Justice located in the east of the Parnasse district of the 14th arrondissement. It is one of the most infamous prisons in France with both VIP and high security wings.
Oh. The imprisonment of convicted personalities is one of the features of La Santé prison. The area where these people are imprisoned is called the special area by the administration.
I mean, there is even a section of the wiki, like notable prisoners of La Santé. I mean, obviously these are French, so like they-
I don't know them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me, but.
Oh my gosh, Didier Morville. Better known under the name of Joey Starr, a rapper. I know, I don't know who that is.
Oh, the prison of convicted personalities features.
And then Le Sainte popular culture. Parker is mentioned in the Wikipedia article. Excellent. So.
Whoa, Manuel Noriega, deposed military dictator of Panama, was in La Sainte.
What? That's wild. Well, I was saying it wrong, La Sainte.
Yeah.
I took German.
I mean, isn't that also like a toast? Sainte.
Yeah, Sainte, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is toast.
Yeah. Or cheers. Or health, to your health, or whatever.
Yes, that would be santé, yeah. Like, salut.
Yeah.
We have gone down a hole. Okay.
Okay, let's regroup.
Back to the episode. I'm going to edit some of that out. Okay.
So, yes, we still don't know anything about the culinary situation of La Santé, but Parker claims that's where she received the best meal of her life.
And she says some... Amy doesn't really believe her. And she's like, French prison, huh? How long were you in? And Parker says, in French, not as long as they thought I'd be. and then she's, you know, telling her to do this every day.
Which kind of tracks for Parker?
Oh, yeah. If she had been in there as long as they thought she'd be, she'd still be in there. Amy tells her that Hardison asked her to look after Parker. And even though he's Parker's boyfriend, he's my boss. So I have to do
what he says. We haven't
got dish duty.
We haven't gotten to the teddy bear, right? She didn't bring the teddy bear.
That's coming. About to give it to her.
Okay.
Yeah, she gives her a get well bear, and Parker is unimpressed.
Does it?
What does it do?
Does it have lasers? Does it sing? Does it? How does it give me robots?
She's so cute. She's like, yeah, well, this one costs $10, so like, chill out.
I mean, like, Parker is being so ungrateful right here.
I think that's how a lot of people are when they are sick, you know?
Yeah, we're not.
They don't feel good. They don't feel their best. Yeah, and she feels, and we'll see this in a minute. She feels left behind. She's worried that
right they can when do they're their when jobs they're, without her. When they cut her off in Japan, so they're like, we're gonna be fine without you. And then Parker just says to herself, "That's what I'm afraid of." And they're like, "Oh,
yeah."
So. Yes. So yeah, but basically Amy's like, well, this is just a $10 like teddy bear, okay? I mean, it's just supposed to make you feel better.
Right. Oh, I think this is when she has the scene where she like does the different things. She's talking to the bear.
Yes, acting like yeah. When she's when she passes the remote and says, you can pick what we watch next.
Yes. But no BJ and the Bear and no reality dating shows except for Beauty and the Geek, because I like that one. I, too, really loved Beauty and the Geek, but I didn't really think it was a dating show, but it was great. I loved it a lot.
Never watched it. Well, don't remember watching, so she'll take your word for it.
Oh, so good. So good.
Okay.
But then she is messing around with the remote and she finds Hardison's security camera feed of the brew pub.
Ooh.
And she's like, ooh. So then she does what we all love to do and decides to people watch. And, you know, she kind of like sees people and she sees Amy walking around and the bartender like hands her a flower and a face. And
like, Amy's and so usually that's a transition to actually down to the bar. Like,
yeah,
we transition from her watching the screen and then going through the screen and like to the bar, which is kind of clever.
Really cool camera work, and they kind of do it backwards in a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And they in the commentary they talked about how they did that, but I didn't understand because I don't do anything
technical stuff.
I know
technical
stuff. So if you like technical things, listen to the commentary; it's great. And then, so she's she settles in and she's ready to watch some people, and you know she's judging people and. Especially this couple who is fighting and she like talks for them. Like, if you leave the toilet seat up one more time.
Like with some sort of like Southern, like Scarlett O'Hara, like type of accent. I do declare.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then she looks over and sees two guys who are just like sitting, looking over a notepad and just like, what are they doing? And Amy walks in and she recognizes the
camera.
Video feed as being the brew pub. She's like, so this is what you do back here. and you know, Parker's like, well, it's boring. And Amy's like, oh, I know. That's okay. I like to people watch too. And she pulls out like a sketch pad and she's like sketched some of the people in the brew pub. And she's like, I call him Sid and her Nancy, the couple who were fighting. And she's like, you know, like from the Sex Pistols.
And then, like, she's Juliet and he's Romeo, this other couple.
Yeah, so she's, like, observed all these people and she gives them little names and she,
like, tells her, like, the backstory she created for them.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
And Parker, while, you know, very much appreciating this, also notices how good the sketch is and she tells her, you're really good.
And she's like, trust me, I've seen some of the best. Like, so
I've seen them, stolen them, sold them.
So like, and I'm not like bullshitting you. This is good. I know what I'm talking about.
It's like, one, I know art. Two, I am not going to like try to make you feel good about yourself by lying.
I would like, she wouldn't even know how.
I couldn't.
Even if she wanted to, she couldn't.
Right. Exactly. And Amy says, well, I wish you could tell my dad that. She's never even shown her dad her art because her dad's all about business and wants her to get an MBA and go into the family business, which Parker asks about. And she's like, what isn't the family business? And you're like,
well, because dad doesn't respect any degree, not without an MB or an A.
Yeah. And she, you know, after Parker asks about the business, she kind of like deflects and points out this other guy who sits at the bar every day in the same seat and orders the same thing, the chicken parm, eats one bite and then sends it back.
So that means, of course, that Parker now calls him chicken parm. A
jerk. Chicken parm. And she thinks he's a jerk, but Amy says, no, 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 he's not a jerk. He's just sad.
And he's really nice about it, you know.
Yeah. And you kind of see it later. And then you find out.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting there. That's my job. I'm the one who skips ahead, not you.
I'm just so excited. I really like this episode. And then she asked about the two guys who were sitting looking at the notebook and says, you know, they look a little pushy. And
Amy's because they like, always insist on sitting at that table.
Yeah. And they refer to them each other as V and K instead of names. And Parker asks, well, how do they tip? And Amy can't remember.
She's trying to get information.
Yeah. And Amy, who's been really observant about everybody, she's like, I don't know. Which means that they are tipping the average, not too low or too high, because they don't want to be remembered.
Right. So I think that Amy needs to do a trash one. And then the wheels are turning. Like, Parker gets out a marker, trying to synthesize it, like, thinking it all out. And what's the conclusion she comes up with, Steve?
Well, she's not there. She's not there yet. Well, yeah. I mean, she does. You're right. She's doing all this. And she also notices that they get two to-go cups to go. Yeah, two to-go cups to go. Two cups of coffee to go. And yeah, and then she's working, you're right, she's working the murder board. And she comes up with her conclusion, thieves. Which, if anybody knows a thief, it's Parker.
And she's basically like, y'all picked the wrong brew pub.
Of all the brew pubs in all the world, you walked into mine. You're not ready for this.
Casablanca, great movie. Great movie.
Yes. Great movie. So Parker wants to hear what they're talking about, but there are no microphones in the pub. And she's very disappointed in Hardison for like not having it mic'd.
But she's talking to the bear again.
Yes. What? Don't give me that look. What, like it's my fault we have thieves running around our house and he has no audio contingencies? Apparently, I didn't go back and really look, but they have the bear has different expressions, like slightly in every scene.
Interesting.
Terrifying. So we get another shot of Tokyo. And it's Elliot who's like meditating with his eyes closed and his phone rings. And he
and puts like in like a black ninja like get up situation.
Of course. And
he's like being all zen. And
Parker says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm waiting. How's the knee? And she says, it's driving her crazy. It's like being on cruise control, cruising me through crazy town. And she has like a whole metaphor for this. And she's a bullet train and she can't stop her gas.
I need to get past Crazy Town.
Yes, got to get that bullet train. I got to go to the museum. And he wants her to, he wants her to just slow down, take a breath, identify your limitations and turn them to advantages. And she's like, okay, how? And then he tells her to adapt because he's got to go. And he's got to go fight a samurai or ninja or something Japanese.
I mean, like the shadow of like his opponent is behind him. And he's just like, I am ready.
Right. This is what I've been waiting for.
And like he's just being all very zen about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I was just remembering a scene from The Librarians, which is not this at all. Not the same character. So Parker decides, okay, I'm going to adapt. I can't use my legs, so I'll use someone else's. And she finds one of Hardison's bugs and she puts it into the vase of the flowers that Amy brought for her. And when Amy comes in, she has her take it to table 5. She's like, don't ask questions, basically. Just take this to table 5. And then while she's waiting for that, she's Parker's checking in on Chicken Parm, and she thinks he's going to eat it all today.
She's like excited.
Eat it, you crazy old man. And he doesn't.
I mean, I think she's snooping.
Like, she totally is. but then, yeah, Amy takes the flower over there. She refills their coffee and she places it on the table. And they don't even care. And they're like very suspicious and not making any eye contact with her, which Parker's like, mm-mm-mm. And then they're talking about how whatever it is, it's going to be headline news. They're going to have to disappear for a few months, but the other guy doesn't care.
The other one's like, look, all the zeros and that check I'm getting, it's fine. He's like, I'll make it work.
Yeah. And then Amy goes back to the table with like a carafe of water and decides to water the flower.
And Parker's like, oh, no, no, what are you doing? Don't.
To quote you sweet summer child, why are you doing that?
And Amy kills the bug.
The water on the bug.
So Parker has to go to plan B.
Yeah, she does. And Juliet gets a note or a text on her phone that says her date can't make it. And she's sad. So Amy brings her a drink on the house, a little martini.
We love Amy. We like
Amy. Love Amy. I want Amy to come back. And Nancy smiles, but then she looks up because a shower of dust falls from the ceiling because Parker's in the ducts with her torn ACL and her foot all braced, her leg all braced.
And she's like, she's all in black now. Yeah, so she threw on like a black sweater or something.
Exactly. And she feeds a microphone down and attaches it to the light fixture so she can hear them. And they're still talking about how they're going to rig something up and bootleg off a wavelength that's reserved for truckers, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, what is this, amateur hour? That's never going to work. And then the other guy says, that'll never work.
And Parker's like, thank you.
Right. Exactly. You know, and they're still planning something and she's eating and icing her knee and watching.
So like Parker's just trying to figure out what their game is at this point. So.
Oh, and we see that every table now has a vase of flowers and she's like, all right, that should be enough bugs to cover the entire brew pub. And she sees Chicken Parm and she's watching him and he still takes one bite and is disappointed and puts it down. And she zooms in and she like sees him like caressing his ring finger where there's like a white ring.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And then we get more on that later. So it's okay if you miss it then.
Yeah.
They're just like really good at dropping little subtle hints, which I love. Mm-hmm. And V and K are still talking about, you know, we're going to be here and then it's a 20-minute drive to the freeway. And then it's like a straight through, straightforward, quick and clean, and we're out. So she's trying to, she's got to figure out what their target is. So she's looking around because where they're sitting, we think is like, gives them a view of what they want, what they're casing.
Right.
So she's like, is that a bank, pawn shop? And she realizes it's probably the jewelry store that I guess is across the street. And then Kay leans back and we see that he has a gun tucked into the waistband of his pants. And
that is when like Parker is taking this personally.
Exactly. You know, she's like, you brought a gun to my bar?
This is what we're, that is what is not going to be happening.
Right. And she then is like back fiddling in Hardison's lab and she's trying to get something to clone. And she's like, clone is clonious.
Like some sort of Harry Potter situation. Like some sort of Harry Potter situation.
Mm-hmm. Like. And she calls Hardison to walk her through it. And
He's like, Hardison is busy at the moment.
Yes.
I kind of love that we got to get these hints, like what they're actually doing in Japan, but we never actually know what's going on in Japan.
Is right? He's in like military dress, and we see behind him like someone's hanging a ribbon on Sophie's neck, and you know, he's trying to help her. He's like, okay, did you solder the green wires together? And she's like, yeah, and clear the system cache, and then do you like flush the BIOS memory?
Whatever. So some techno babble, basically.
Yes. And she's like, yes, yes. Oh, no. And she presses it. She's like, oh, it worked. You're the best. Bye.
And then, like, Hardison missed his cue, so he's rushing and then gets an elbow from Sophie. Like, you're late. What are you doing? Like,
no, he gets an elbow from her because he puts his hat on.
Right.
And they're like basically meeting the emperor. And so he like takes his hat off right away.
Yeah, yeah. And for missing his cue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But mostly for that social
gap. For the hat. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the grifter's for. So you don't mm-hmm. have the shit doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So Parker is having Amy get this or clone their phones or do like a pinch phone. And she's like, why? You want me to do this? Why? And, you know, Parker says, these guys are going to rob this store, right? And like, normally that's fine. Don't mind robbers who aren't robbing me or my friends,
well, my or, friends kids or kids or whatever.
But they brought a gun to the party and that changes all the rules. So this way she's going to get the data from their phone so they can figure out what their plans are and stop them. And she's like, they've got a gun. We should call the police. And Parker's like, absolutely not. What are they going to do? Useless. They're going to make them nervous. And something bad is going to happen.
Because they're not like that good. So they're going to make mistakes. And that's just going to, that's when bad people get hurt.
Exactly.
And plus like all this wiretapping and stuff isn't exactly, you know.
Yeah. And she tells her, she asks how much, why does she know so much about this? She's like, I read blogs.
Of course.
Fair. Like, I read a lot of crime novels.
Of course.
Right? And then she's like, we don't need anyone, especially if they don't need us. You know, which she really means the leverage team. And Amy's like, we're a we now?
So she's still in her feelings that the team abandoned her.
Yes. And Amy's a little like, what? We're a we? We're
like,
we.
What is I'm even happening? She's like, basically like, what is even happening right now?
And Parker apologizes. She's, you know, she says, I've been a little bossy. I'm sorry about that. But like, I hate being like this useless and asking for help, but I really do need you. So she's. And then we find out a little bit more about Amy through Parker, because she's like, why should I help you? And Parker's like, I've seen your resume. It's all volunteering and charity and all of these people.
Like, why do you think Hardison picked you to help take care of me? Like, yeah. That was no accident.
He knew you were one of us. Mm. And she says, okay, like, what does one of us mean? And Parker says, people who have to help. You're like, oh.
Our Parker is growing up.
Yes. Yes.
We're proud, like watching our little baby like ride off on her bike without the training wheels.
Exactly. Like, we're scared, but we're proud. Mm-hmm. We're worried and we're proud. And before, so Amy agrees, but before she does, she's like, this is legal, right? Or she asks, is any of this illegal? And Parker's like, absolutely not. It's totally fine. And then she leaves and Parker's like, is that legal? She gets over there and she refills their coffee and she successfully hits the button. But what she does there is not just clone their phones, but everybody in the bar. And Parker's like, oh no, whoa. Oh, okay. Well, let's go digging. Let's have some
like
fun.
She is such a member of the MBB.
The what?
The MBB, the Nosy Bitch Brigade.
Oh. I mean, wouldn't you be? He says, maybe just a quick peek. So she pulls up Sid's phone and there are photos of him cheating on Nancy.
Oof.
And then she pulls up Juliet's phone
and Romeo's.
And Romeo's phone and realizes that they both love Daft Punk and play the violin.
And apparently both like Arsenal and they're both Arsenal fans. And like they are a match made in heaven, basically.
Right? It's adorable. And then Chicken Parm, she like listens to his voicemails and they're.
And that scene just.
Oh, it's hard.
It's horrible, Steve.
They're voicemails from his coworkers at the hospital offering condolences about someone named Emma and like saying, oh, well, we shifted your surgeries and then calling back and saying, hey, we need you. And
it's amazing. It's just a voiceover, but there was such a progression in this voicemail. They're like, hey, we're so sorry, sympathies. They're like, we love you, we're here for you. And then, like, just give me condolences. And they're like, he doesn't want to say it out loud, but like, dude, like, buddy, we're worried about you. Like, mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. Like, you can tell that this guy is lost his wife. He's in mourning. He's not talking to anyone. He's not in a good space right now.
Yeah. And he's only eating one bite of chicken parm every day.
And then but it was so funny because like when he called him like later or whatever, and then Parker's like, that's not his name. His name's Chicken Parm.
Yes. And then she finally gets to V&K's phone and they have no voicemails, no emails, no photos, just lots of texting between.
And even Parker had feelings when she heard those emails. Voicemails and said, this guy just lost his wife. This is a sad situation.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, she's getting nothing from V&K's phones, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, there's just text with someone named O. And it just has lots of numbers and she doesn't really understand what they're from, or Amy doesn't understand. And Parker's like, well, they're a code of some sort. Like I thought it was this kind of code, but it's not working. And they switch to English every time they order coffee. So, and Amy's like, oh, that's what the coffees are for. And then she says, also the V guy always leaves and takes two coffees to go with him. And then they walk somewhere. And, you know, she doesn't know where, she'd never thought about where it was till now. Another message comes up and Parker grabs another bug and gets Amy to place the bug on the bottom of one of the coffee cups that the V is taking with him. So then they-
kind of like a big like cup, like kind of not something you would miss, I feel like.
The bug or the cup?
Yeah. The bug.
Oh, like, what's underneath? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bug, but it's also like a tracking bug, not just a listening bug. And they can see their location on the map and they realize with like this really cool shot that they're like on the other side of the wall, like in the alley outside the brew pub. So Parker takes a little field trip. She goes and like sneaks, looks in the alley and sees V give the copy to somebody in a van. And she notices like they like write on the screen. So it's like she's processing things and we're seeing it on the screen, which I think is cool. But I wish that was something that we had seen Parker do before, because it feels very
like random. A cheat. It feels like a cheat almost.
Yeah. Like, or I wish they use it throughout the episode. They only use it here.
Yeah.
You know, like if they, when she was watching the security cameras, if they used something like that, in just at least one other scene, but it was just felt like out of place. Mm-hmm. But they said in the commentary that they wanted it. They were going back and forth on how they wanted that to look, like her processing this crime scene or, you know, what she was looking at. And they were like, with Nate, it would have been typed. But with Parker, it's more organic. It's written. And I'm like, okay, I can see that, but I would want it a little more established. But that's okay. I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
And she notices that the plate, the license plate, has a quick release, and the tires are something called duelers, which are immune to road spikes.
And a disability placa, which means they can park anywhere.
Yeah. So she's like, aha, I see. And when Amy, when she gets back, you know, she tells her there's a getaway van parked in the alley, which she knows because of intuition. But Amy figures out what these numbers, this code is. She says they're timing splits, like in track and field. And she explains what that is.
Because she was a miler in track for like 5 minutes.
For like a hot second. At St. Tristan's Prep. But they still can't figure out what this first number is. And then Amy's like, oh shoot, I got to go do the trash run. Mm-hmm. And Parker realizes like, wait, the garbage comes at 2:30 every day, right? And she's like, yes. And then she thinks like, what if that's not the only truck that's on the schedule? And realizes that every day at 2:30 p.m., an armored car also pulls up. So that's the weak point, and they're going to strike this armored car and take this money.
So she's figured it out.
Mm-hmm. And then the word green light pops up on the display of the texts. And she's like, okay, in other words, right now. And so she's like, okay, we got to move. They're bird dogging. We got 60 seconds. We got to move. And then she like can't move because it hurts.
What is bird dogging?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask.
Okay.
I'm looking it up. to search out or pursue with dogged determination.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. We learned something new today. So they're like, we gotta go. But she hurts herself because she hits her leg, and Amy comes to help, and she's like, I got it. And then she almost falls over. And so Amy's like, okay, no offense, but you can't go anywhere. So let me be your legs. Tell me what to do. We hear V saying they're like, you know, if we have one shot, so, you know, we got to do this right. So relax. Let's see. Back in the brew pub, the bartender gives Amy a pitcher of tea, and she like moves through the crowd, and Parker is causing chaos because Nancy is upset because she has received a photo of Sid with another girl that Sid sent from his phone. And he's like, I don't know what you mean.
Courtesy of Parker.
And Nancy's leaving, and Sid goes to like intercept her, and she's like really angry.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Right. Then V gets up and walks towards the door, and Amy's like watching them and then follows. And
right. And like Nancy is like, oh, you like pictures? Wait, let's post, you know, how about we post it then? I would have threatened to send it to his whole family, but she's just gonna post it on the internet.
Yeah. And maybe tag them in it, you know. and they bump into Amy, who then dumps the tea all over V. And you know, she's apologizing and wants to like get something to clean it up, and he's like, it's fine, and he leaves. And Sid and Nancy are still angry. So the armored car.
He still can't figure out how Nancy got those photos in the first place.
Oh, he'll never know. He will never know. He'll never find out. The Parker, you know, watches the armored truck drive away. They miss their, you know, window. And we see on the screens that they text no joy and then abort. And then Amy comes back in. Yeah. So, you know, Parker's like, well, the good news is like we foiled this plan, but the bad news is like, we're going to have to wait 24 hours before we have to do this again.
Because they're going to come back.
Yeah. And Amy's like, you didn't say they were going to come back. And Parker's like, of course they're going to come back. Like, why would they?
And we want them to come. We want them to come back.
Yeah, how else can we catch them? We're not calling the cops because, and now she breaks the door. This was not legal. With the things that
and,
we were doing.
And Amy's like, I knew it.
But just think of it as more charity work. Amy's like, okay, but my other charity work doesn't involve having a gun pointed at me. And she's like, exactly, that's what I'm saying. And then realizes, oh,
you didn't mean that in a good way.
Yeah. So Parker's like, no, we can take care of this. Like, these guys aren't that good. Which is another reason why we should do this. Like we said earlier, they're going to make a mistake. And
they're sloppy. They're going to make mistakes and people are going to get hurt.
And if we don't catch them, we're letting that happen. So then Parker, you know, she's pretty confident, but not completely. And she calls Nate because she wants some advice, some reassurance. And she says, you know, this is more your thing than mine. So how would you handle these
things? Tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And Nate is sitting in a room that's like low lit. And then it pans back as he's talking and like saying, oh, you're breaking up, Parker. Jeeves, what? And then he's like, well, you know, that's okay. I believe I have faith in you. Bye-bye. And then it like pans out more and he and Sophie are in like this romantic setting and there's like tons of candles lit and they're very relaxed. Yeah, they're very relaxed. And
I mean, and the decor. And the decor, yeah.
She lights a match and like throws it in something. And so I hope it's a fire pit.
And the decor is somewhat fetishy.
Yeah.
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 I mean, and I think Sophie has a kimono on, and I think she had those like chopsticks or whatever in her hair. Is like she's getting it, like, yeah.
Which reminds me of when he brings her back when she's in London.
Right, right. But yeah, Yes, before the lost air drop, he makes an emergency road trip to London, and then she's like, she's in the bathroom in kimono with the hand. She's like, oh my god, who died? What happened? Who died?
Right, and he's like, I just want you to come back. She's like, really? Yeah.
Goodbye.
But Nate totally heard everything Parker was saying, and he's says she's dealing with some thieves.
And he's like almost like a proud papa. Like, look at our little bird fly.
Yeah. And yeah. Sophie says, oh, baby bird is learning how to fly.
Yep.
So good. So back at the brew pub, Parker's looking around and she's kind of like working through everything. And you know, she says, okay, the armored car will pull up. The thieves will hit it. The getaway van's in the alley. The fastest way to the alley is through our pub. That's what the splits are for. The first split is from the truck to the front door. The second split is the time it takes to get through the restaurant. And then she's talking to Amy. She's like, okay, we're going to need the tables here, here, and here, but don't seat anyone at them because it'll slow them down. But we don't want anybody to get hurt. And Amy's like, okay. And they're like, she's got a plan to say that they're short on servers. And she says, we do it all the time when we don't feel like working.
And she's like, oh shit, I just said that in front of my boss's girlfriend.
Yeah. And Parker like doesn't care. She's like, you think of him as the boss? And Amy's like, yes, because he is the boss.
And she's not even processing it. Like her mind is like trying to figure out the heist like kind of situation. Yeah.
But
she's not even really registering that. The whole employee slacking off.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't care. But she's also like proud of Hardison. You know, she's like, is he a good boss? Do you guys like him? And Amy says, you know, he's awesome. Like, are you kidding me? Like, but don't take this the wrong way. He's too smart for this place. And Parker's like, yeah, he's the smartest man I've ever known. And I've known some very smart men. And you're like, oh, my heart.
Aww,
they love like, and like each other and respect.
And like,
each
we
other.
Don't, I'm like, we don't take him seriously, but it's nice that all y'all take him seriously.
Exactly. And Amy's like, and I asked you about a brother, right? Does he have a brother? And Parker says, twice. He does have a brother in real life.
Edwin, who was in... Jailbreak. Another episode I co-hosted.
Exactly. So Amy has this great idea. She says, oh, we should sit Romeo and Juliet together and see what happens. And Parker says, oh my God, that's genius. And Amy says, it is. And she's like, oh, no. She pulls a Nate here. Like, not what you said. It made me think of something else.
But inspired by you.
So good job.
That is a Nate. That is a Nate.
So she's like, okay, so we're going to set Romeo and Juliet up together. And Barker says, no, I have an even better match. And she pulls up some dating profiles, but we don't really see who they are. And then, Parker's at the bar when Amy goes to pick up the to-go coffees. And V is ready. He's like, brings them to the guys in the van. And it says, you know, drink up, 2:30, all right. You guys be ready. And they're good to go. And then Amy says, hey, I want to make the trash run early so I don't miss the you know what.
And so she is also member of the Nosy Bitch Brigade.
And no one blames her. So, yeah, Parker's like, okay, but hurry back because look who just got here, Romeo and Juliet's dates. Mm. And they sit down and Parker's like, 2:30 sharp, go. So Amy carries the trash outside to the dumpster and Parker's watching the screen on her phone, or the phone screens on her screen, and she sees go texted between the phones. And she's like, what? No, not go. Like, you're 20 minutes early. And she's like trying to move and she's hurting herself. And through the window, she can see, because she goes out to the pub, there's no armored car at the jewelry store. She turns back around and we have a flashback of V looking out the window as Amy carries the trash past him. It's weird to me that she takes the trash out the front door.
That is a health code violation, okay?
Yes. Like, you take the trash out the back door. But maybe she goes to the... No, she walks through. It would make sense to me if she, like, walked out a back door and, like, walked past the front of the building, and that's how we could see her.
That is a health code violation. You don't do that shit.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. So, and then she remembers that Amy said that her dad wants her to run the family business. And so she looks her up and she's like, oh, her father is worth billions. cool.
Like, it's starting to come together.
Yep. This is not a robbery. It's a kidnapping.
So all that stuff about the van, the easy access, and the park anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, it's not to steal money, it's to steal a person. And they have her cornered in the alley and they like grab her and they throw
Kicking
her
and screaming. Amy's not going down without a fight.
Oh yeah. And I just want to say, like, this is a really bad kidnapping. Like, they didn't tie her up, they didn't like
gag her,
silent her. Yeah, they didn't gag her. Like, okay, you guys did a lot of planning and you didn't get like a bag to put over her head. Not that you should kidnap people, but even I know how to do a better job of kidnapping someone than these guys. But Parker from the beginning said these guys weren't good and that someone would get hurt. But as they go to the front to like get the people to drive off, which there's two people sitting in the van. Where are they going to go? I guess they're not getting in the getaway van. I don't know.
They're just going to be in the back seat with her
but they didn't get in. They should have gotten in the back seat with her. They're not good kidnappers, but it doesn't matter because the driver and the passenger are passed out because Parker put her pain pills in their to-go cups,
hence the wibbly wobbly. And obviously that gives Parker enough time to book it downstairs and get that latch mm-hmm. and get Amy the hell out of there.
Exactly. By the time they come back to the back of the van, they're gone. And Kay wants to get out, cut their losses. And V is like, no, not without the girl. And V is obviously the more evil guy.
We don't get an evil speech of evil in this episode, now that I think about it. We don't.
Not really, you're right. Yeah. Amy is very grateful, and she gives Parker a very long hug. And she's like, it's okay, it's all right. Just, like, next time, if you could probably mention that your dad is, like, your family business is multinational. That'd be
like
good.
A multinational corporation we're dealing with. That could have helped.
Yeah. Kay and V walk back into the brew pub and pull the fire alarm.
They're pissed.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, and they, you know, they start going. And a server, like, runs into Juliet and, like, knocks her into Romeo. And they have like a cute little like moments.
A heck of a meet cute.
Yes. And he says, oh, I should have probably let your date do that, because her date's like directing people out the door. And she asks, how did you know he was here with me? And he says he notices things about her, because why wouldn't he? She's perfect. she's perfect. I'm like, oh, that's cute. And his date is also like, you know, helping people out and getting them out of there without panicking. But Olivia, as she's the Romeo's date, notices the gun in Kay's pants, and she's like, whoa. And she pulls her own gun and she's Portland PD.
And so was Juliet's date, also law enforcement.
Yes.
So we also see what.
Yeah, we see why she set them up. Olivia, Romeo's date, is actually one of Beth Riesgraf's stunt doubles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when you like see, they like have a shot from behind where she's holding her gun, you can like totally see it. You're like, oh yeah, she looks exactly like Beth from behind. It's great. So she, you know, has told them that. She tells Jack to like check the alley and call for backup, and that she's got these guys, and he leaves calling for backup. And V freaking shoots her in the side, and she like yells. It was like really painful sounding.
Oof. I mean, she's off duty, so she doesn't have her Kevlar on and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's supposedly on a date, so she's trying to look cute.
I know, it was weird that she had her gun with her on a date, though.
That's true.
It's like, is Portland an open carry state? Or, I guess Portland's not a state at all, but is Oregon an open carry state? But luckily, so she's on the floor, bleeding profusely from a gunshot wound. But luckily, Chicken Parm, he was still in the bar.
It snaps Chicken Parm out of it.
It does. James, he's like, I'm a doctor. And he like shows that he doesn't have any weapons. Like, let me just help her.
Let me just try to stop the bleeding, whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, why don't you help me? But Kay comes back. He's like, the cops locked out. We've got 3-4 minutes tops. So we got to find her. And V is the more evil of them, but he's also the smarter one, because he like looks around and he's like, he notices all the security cameras finally. And he's like, I think I know how this whole thing went sideways. And he like looks straight up at the camera.
He's really mad.
Yeah. And Amy's like, what does that mean? And Parker's like, it means things about to get bad.
The shit has hit the fan.
Exactly. Or it just reminds me of that scene in Bad Boys 2. When Martin Lawrence says, shit just got real.
Never watched this.
Oh, they're really good. Okay. Anyways, so
he's hunting them down.
He's hunting them down, but she turns the lights off because they've gotten into Leverage headquarters. And he's like, you think that scares us?
He breached the perimeter?
Yeah. But then she like knocks Kay out real fast in the dark, which is a very Elliot move. Mm-hmm. And then V
quick and easy.
Yeah. V looks around and he like fires the gun several times. And then Parker hits him, which knocks the gun away. And when the lights come on, like the gun is lying on the floor between them. And so she's like, you know, torn ACL. He's lying on the ground and they like both go for it at the same time. And Amy pops up from behind the counter and throws Parker's crutch to her. And she like pins his hand and then they fight and she uses her crutch to knock him out.
Turning a bug into a feature.
Exactly. And then the EMTs are helping James. Taking Olivia away. And they're also, the cops are taking V and K away. And Barbara's like, wait, stop. And she just goes, she just stands in front of him and he's like, what? And she just says, I'm gloating.
I mean.
She said the quiet part out loud.
I mean, if anyone has earned the gloat.
Exactly. Hard earned gloat. Then it's the next day and James Chicken Parm comes into the pub and it's completely empty and he's really surprised. And Amy's like, nice to see you. You know, takes him to his regular spot and he asks where everyone is. And she's like, oh, it's a slow day. You know, there was a gunfight here yesterday.
I'm not sure it's still not a crime scene, to be frankly, right? Honest with you. I mean, does it have like the CSI people need to come process the scene and collect the ballistics and do whatever the crime scene?
I mean, it feels pretty cut and dry. Amy's like, they tried to kidnap me and they didn't. And then it's done. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
So Amy goes to get him water and it like pans back and Parker's just sitting on the bar stool next to him like,
hi.
Like, hi. I wanted him to like turn and go, oh gosh. But she tells him that she works in the back and then she was there when you saved the... She does say, I was here the other day when you saved the cop's life. So maybe it's been a couple days. And he says, just glad I was here. And she says, well, I'm sure that cop's happy we served Chicken Parm.
Oh,
and he's like a little embarrassed. He's like, yeah, I guess I ordered that a lot. And then she pulls a Sophie and she says, you know, something tells me there's a story to that. And so he talks about his wife and how she would make it for him. Even when she was sick, she would insist. And she said that making him happy made her feel better.
And you were just like a mess.
Yeah. And Parker thinks that she would have been proud of the way that he'd stepped in. And then she says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find you a new favorite dish. And they like bring all these plates out from the bar for him to try a new dish. So it won't have the sad connotations anymore. And he's like, whoa, okay. And then he's like, oh, but no fish. I don't like fish.
See, there is like a whole spread in front of him at this point.
Yes, it's like everything on the menu. And Parker is so cute. She like lifts this wine glass in a toast and says, to new friends, new food, and no fish. And they're like, clink, no fish.
And then she pushes Elliot's chili.
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Cute.
It's the best.
It's adorable. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to eat at a restaurant with friends. It's all I want, Lisa. And then our last scene is Amy and Parker watching horror movies. They're watching Night some of the Living Dead, zombie. I believe. It's some sort of
zombie thing.
It's the original George A. Romero, Night of the Living Dead, I believe, which... In the commentary, they like tell a very sad story about this movie. It was not copywritten properly. And so George Romero like made no money off of it.
Well, I think the same thing happened with
Charade. He created the genre.
I think the same thing happened with Charade. Like they either did it or forgot or didn't do it properly. So it's not copyrighted. So that's why Charade is used like everywhere.
Charade with Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn?
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love that movie.
I'm still convinced he is actually not Peter Cruikshank. I'm still convinced he's still pulling some kind of scam on her. He's not Peter. Okay. But that's not the humor there at the moment.
It's okay. I'd fall for it. It's fine. Oh yeah, and they're watching this horror movie and everybody else walks in to Leverage HQ like mid-conversation. You know, Elliot's not, can't believe that the snow monkey didn't bite Hardison, who he's insists like that being, they had a special connection.
He's being totally Elliot. They're all Hardison's complaining, like,
yeah. And apparently the emperor hated Elliot because he didn't want him around his granddaughter, etc. And they, you know, they're like, oh, you remember Amy, right? And they ask how Japan was, and Nate says, you know, boring. And they're like, yeah, Japan. And they ask, or Nate, like, sees the bullet holes in the, like,
the plaster, you know, or whatever.
Yes, the plaster with the beams of the house. And he's like, how were things here? And she's like, oh, fine, boring.
Same, like, same old, boring, you know.
And then Hardison's like, you know what? I don't believe you. And you're part of this. And they're like, oh God, they caught us. And it's really just because it's the zombie movie.
And Hardison is offended they're not showing proper appreciation of this class.
Yeah. And he's like, we're watching it from the beginning. And everybody's like, sure, let's go.
It's so and funny. Elliot is like, okay. And then Sophie's like, what the hell?
And Parker or Nate just wants more popcorn. Which I'm like,
I mean, oh. And I feel the fact that Sophie didn't, like, Parker just said nothing happened, didn't make a big deal out of it, like, earned her so much respect in Nate's eyes that she didn't, like, yeah. She didn't want to talk about it. Like, there was a situation, but she handled it. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think so too. And I really like this episode. I think it's wonderful. Beth Rescrap had to film this while also filming another episode because they film a lot of things kind of concurrently, which is not usually too bad because usually you don't have every single scene you're in. But this one, she had a lot to learn.
This was definitely a Parker episode.
Oh. Yes. I don't remember if it like the first time that I watched it or remembering when I started this one, what it was, being worried that in a lot of shows like this, like episodes like this, bottle episodes where one person, because it's kind of, it's a bit of a trope where somebody has to do things. A lot of times when they're connecting with the rest of the cast that's not present and they're trying to say like, this thing is happening, that they have to ultimately deal with themselves. The other cast like play it down or don't believe them. They're like, oh, you're just exaggerating. I'm sure it's not thieves. Like you're just
and then you pan back crazy. And you see like the thieves are there and whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of it is the like not believing in the competence of the person who's on the phone or not believing what they're seeing is real. And that never happens in this episode because Leverage isn't gonna do that because our characters are really competent and the other characters know that they're competent. So even like when Nate pretends he doesn't know what she's talking about, he knows what she's talking about and B, that she can handle it. He's just like giving her the opportunity to do that without leaning on him. And I just really appreciated that that no one doubted or like downplayed her sanity, you know? Mm-hmm. I really liked that.
Yeah.
You have any other thoughts on this episode?
I like the family aspect of it, especially like how much more family do you get when they're saying, let's pop some popcorn and watch a movie together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, this was some nice like foreshadowing about the season arc and where we're heading and how for the finale. I just liked it because it was really Parker out of her comfort zone, like being, you know, incapacitated and dealing with that. But like you said, like our baby's grown up.
I know. And sometimes it takes like really, yeah, being pushed out of your comfort zone without wanting it to like be like, oh, we gain that confidence, be like, oh, I can do this. Like everything that I've been watching and absorbing for 5 seasons has.
And the fact that she cares that she's being left out. Mm-hmm. And that she's worried about being left out and replaced. Like,
and that that she can verbalize that. That it's not just like this gut feeling that makes her angry. That she can say, I'm afraid you're going to leave me out, that you don't need me.
Right.
Instead of just acting out instinctively and not knowing, not being able to like put words
or saying, you know? Or like, fine, the heck with that. I'm just going to leave. You don't need me. Fine. I won't, you know. Season one, Parker would have been like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, screw you people.
You know? Right. And the undertones would have been, or the subtext would be like, I'm afraid that I care too much for you and that you're going to hurt me. But now she can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I like it. I like it. I don't really have a heist like that'll fit this. But we talked a lot about La Sainte prison. So if you want to go look into that French prison, we didn't find any evidence that they have delicious food, but maybe they do. It is France after all.
I mean, we can quibble about their definition of notable past residents.
Yeah.
So the president's son does count. I would say that counts. Former president's son counts.
Yeah.
Who
else did you say was Noriega?
Yeah, that dictator from Panama.
That seems that's a big one. Leverage 2 news, since we just recorded Saturday, there hasn't been a ton, but again, Almost Paradise is now available on IMDb TV. And right before I started recording, Christian Kane shared like a little video on his Twitter talking about it. And he's sitting in a dressing room holding a coffee cup that says, damn it, Hardison. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so good. I love it.
I love that they love. I mean, so it's I think it's clear that they kept in touch after the show ended, that they're still like bonded and, you know, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how Noah Wiley changes the dynamics and what he's going to bring to the table, as it were.
Yeah. That's been a common refrain. Like, we're all like, how is this gonna change the dynamics?
And how are they gonna explain Nate's absence, and what does that mean in terms of the Nate and Sophie relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he just dead, or did they break up, or is Sophie, or you know, whatever. I mean, I was never that invested. I'm still not that invested in Nate and Sophie, as it were. So, you know.
Yeah. I think at the time I was, and now I'm looking back, I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm much more about my OT3. So.
The kids.
As you know.
The kids.
The kids. The kids mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
I mean, I still can't believe how young Aldous Hodge was when he was doing this show.
21 when he started.
A baby.
Sweet, sweet, innocent baby who could act so well.
And now he's like a thirst trap.
Well, he's a thirst trap back then too, let's be really honest. He was a big draw to the show for me.
It's wrong to ski perv on a 21-year-old, though. Now it's okay. He's older and wiser now.
Yeah, but when I was first watching it, I was not much older than 21, so it was fine. It's still fine. Okay, Lisa, tell people where they can find you online.
I am at LaForesta1 on Twitter.
Awesome. And I am at LibrarianStee on Twitter. And thank you for listening. You won't see us again, but you'll hear us again like literally us, because Lisa, you're on the next episode. In 2 weeks to talk about the frame up job.
Bye.
Bye.